You're listening to Rosie on the House.
Come on around back. It is 8 o'clock, which means it's the outdoor living hour. And we've changed it up recently in the last few years, and it's been very well received by our listening audience. The first Saturday of the month, we bring in the Arizona Farm Bureau talking all things agriculture. It's a I've got this old number now. It's a what used to be like a $17 billion, now like
$23.3 billion.
$23.3 billion industry to the state of Arizona, and it brings the gardening to the big boys level.
Correct.
Yeah.
Just a few dollars more.
And each month we've picked ahead of time, and we put it in our home maintenance calendar, what we're going to be covering, and it's designed around what is either in season or in harvest in Arizona that the listening audience could then go get from their local grocery store. Well, beef is always in harvest.
Yes.
But it's National Beef Month is May, so that's why we tied it into this month.
Hour. And everybody loves beef. It makes me think of – hi, this is Julie from Arizona Farm Bureau, but – it makes me think of a weekend barbecue, and that's what we need to be doing this weekend with some beef.
And it is our intent, by the end of this hour, if you listen to the whole thing, you will have a deeper understanding and appreciation of that medium rare filet you cut up tonight with a little bit of mashed potatoes and some brown gravy.
Mm.
Forget the salad. We're talking beef today. And you'll have a better understanding of and appreciation of that meal you're enjoying and how to find it locally. And to do that, each month you bring in a different guest, a different farmer, different rancher that specializes in the crop and the harvest that we're covering. And you've brought in your president today.
Yes, Stephanie Smallhouse. I still say newly elected. It's starting to get a little bit longer, but this last November. And, of course, her and her husband are partnered in Carlink Ranch. And there's no one better to talk about beef than our ranchers. So I'm going to just shut up this hour and let Stephanie do most of the talking.
Thanks, Julie. Yeah, I'm president of Arizona Farm Bureau, and we cover every commodity, but I'm a little bit biased towards beef. So I think every month should be beef month.
Where? Well, you eat beef every day. Why not?
I do. I would recommend it. When I tell you a funny story, when my husband and I first got married, I had been working I worked through college in a kind of a fancy deli place and learned to make a lot of fancy things. And so I think it was literally the first week we were married, I toiled over, you know, these fancy dishes that I had learned to make, and we sat down to eat, and it was lunch. It wasn't even dinner. It was lunch. And I kind of looking at him, and he's eating away and eats the whole thing. And I look at him and I said, well, what'd you think of that? And he goes, it didn't have any meat in it. He said, I pretty much like meat in every meal. So that was a learning experience. But yeah, so anyway.
So was he the rancher originally? Were you the rancher? How did y'all get started in beef?
No, my husband is a fifth generation rancher in the same exact spot. So there are a lot of generational ranchers, but it's hard to stay in the same spot sometimes. And so we've been in Reddington, Arizona, along the San Pedro River since 1884. And so my kids will be the sixth generation to operate and run the ranch. So
since 18 what?
1884.
1884. What was going on in Arizona in 1884? We were 84. You're 30 years from statehood still.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It wasn't long off of the fame of Tombstone and things like that. So.
And that was post-Civil War, too.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
The hookers were into the Sierra Bonita area the Sulphur Valley Springs, and y'all were moving into the San Pedro. There's no easy way to get to Reddington. I want turn the microphone cam back on. Everybody raise your hand that's been to Reddington. Reddington, Arizona. Raise your hand.
Even I have been to Reddington, Arizona.
I see two hands in there, both in the studio. There's no easy way to get there.
No, there isn't. And that's probably a good thing. It keeps the riffraff out, but or the riffraff in, depending on how you want to look at it. But we just recently got about half of our road paved. So up until last year, we were traveling almost 20 miles of dirt to get out of there. So,
and I have to say, one of the last times I went to Reddington, Arizona, was to your 130th anniversary of the ranch. So that was one reason to get on that 20-mile dirt road.
Yeah, yeah. So,
well, that's exactly what we love about this hour and bringing in the people that have been doing it for five generations. You can't get more experience than that when we're covering one of these commodities in the ag department in the field. And beef today, so we'll get to the market later. Obviously, that's the end result, market and what you get per pound per beef. But
right.
Where does the process start? We got to back up.
You know, it is a long process. A lot of people, you know, I go into classrooms sometimes and talk to kids about, you know, where their food comes from. And when we're talking about beef, something that always, you know, leaves their mouth wide open is when I tell them how long it took to get that dollar hamburger at McDonald's. So it's, you know, it's like a 2-year investment on the part of those that are working on it. And then it costs a buck at McDonald's. So it's kind of shocking sometimes. But we're what you would call a cow-calf operation, which means in the part of the process chain for beef, we raise our own calves. We have our own cow herd, English cross, which is Angus Hereford cross. And so we start out there with focusing on genetics, so that we're raising the kind of animal that we think it will result in the best product for the consumer. And so we calve year round because we can do that in Arizona. That's one of the benefits of ranching in Arizona. A lot of people think, oh, this is the desert. It must be difficult to ranch here. But there are a lot of things about it that make it easier. The climate, the dry climate, you don't have to worry as much about things folks in the Midwest have to worry about.
Less disease,
yep.
Less
as parasites.
As long as we've got wells that are working.
Exactly. Exactly. Water is of paramount importance. But the grasses that we have in the desert are high nutritive value.
I have a question.
Sure.
It was just a few years ago. We had like one of the wettest winter years. Wherever you went in Arizona, it looked like Ireland. There was just green grass everywhere. Now, but you can't manage your herd or your property for those years. This year, we've had probably one of the driest, brownest years ever. I mean, how many, where I come from, it's how many head per acre.
Yeah.
How do y'all decide the herd size for your property?
Well, there's a lot of thought that goes into it, actually, and it also depends on where you're ranching, because there's still a diverse environment in Arizona, even from the northern part to the southern part. But for our operation personally, we monitor our rangeland every year. We do range monitoring transects to monitor our grass so that we can see whether our grasses are on upward trend, a downward trend, or they're just stable. And a lot of it's just common sense. I mean, if you've been ranching for a long time, you know when you need to rest the grasses and when you're in a drought and what you need to do. I'm glad you brought that up with us because we're somewhat unique in Arizona because Andy's grandfather started, or his great-great-grandfather had some farmland along the San Pedro, but his father put in a lot more farmland along the San Pedro. And one of the reasons for that was so that during times of drought, which we knew were inevitable, we would be able to bring our cattle off of the rangeland during very important times and graze on our farmland. And that's still what we do today. So we rotate our cattle, which is not uncommon. Most ranchers do that. You rotate your cattle so that the production of the grasses, you get the most seed benefit out of that. And then you put the cattle back up after the rains and after the seed is disseminated. And so you're basically managing grass even more than you're managing cattle.
I know cattlemen that move their entire herd up to the Nutrioso, Hannigan Meadow, Alpine area.
Yeah, if you're ranching,
for the winter, for the summer.
Yeah, if you're ranching in a colder climate, like Friends and Springerville and things like that, they're moving cattle back and forth in between their upper range in the summer and their lower range in the winter.
If you want to see the Small House Ranch car link and get a real quick visual of it, Friends of Arizona Farm Bureau has a stash of videos. We're releasing them on average about every week. And one of the ones that we released was Ranching is a Family Affair, the Small House Family. And you'll get to see this 130-plus-year-old farm and ranch and get a sense because they're actually moving some of the cattle in a few of the clips that we show.
So we've got an Angus Hereford cross that, what did you call it, an English?
Yeah, it's English cattle, basically. So it's your Hereford, your Angus, breeds like that.
And that's your primary breed that y'all raise and harvest at the Carlink Ranch?
At the Carlink Ranch, yeah. Yeah, we have a little bit of, a few years ago, we introduced some Brangus genetics, which is a Brahmin breed, which is a desert breed. And so we've got a little bit of that in our herd just to make them a little bit tougher for this climate. Because most of the time you're going to see English cross cattle in the Midwest and stuff. But Arizona's transitioning quite a bit to that breed because we're learning how to manage them in this environment.
And you say y'all calve all year long. So, this is open range, do you have a stable, barn, or a designated pasture for your mamas that are getting ready to calve?
We're able to do that. Not everybody in Arizona does that. It's not common. The reason that we do that is because we have so much infrastructure on the ranch. So we have corrals, we have fencing, we have water, so that we can move our cattle and our climate also. So our cattle can move around year round and they're easy to manage. So we're not doing like what used to be your once-a-year great roundups. We have cowboys that ride every single day, and they're gathering and branding. And so it's preference for us. Some ranchers will still tell you that's not a good idea, but it works well for us. So,
and you mentioned infrastructure. It is incredible, the cost of infrastructure. And I'm not even talking a big operation like y'all. I'm just talking, for our seven horses and our roping steers and our beef cattle, the infrastructure cost is endless.
Yeah, I would.
You think infrastructure, well, this is the foundation, we're done. Well, the maintenance for the infrastructure
right
behind that, especially with animals, they love to tear things up.
They do. And so I would agree with that, and the fact that if you think about just what it takes to keep up your own yard, well, try keeping up, 14 miles of fence and several different corrals and pipelines. That's probably, I think, what we spend the most time in is managing our pipelines and our water sources. So
you could have your day scheduled. Here's what I'm going to get done, and you find out the pipeline's broken, the well pump's broken, something needs fit, and it could throw off days.
Oh, yeah. I, my husband and I have different ways of looking at things. I'm generally more organized, and I plan things out very well, and he's not. And so we go back and forth on this, and he said, that's nice if you know what's going to break every day, but I don't. So he kind of gets on daily detours. So
you just got to wake up and
that's
be ready
right
to roll.
Be ready to go. So that's true.
All right, we're talking with Stephanie Smallhouse and Julie Murphy from the Arizona Farm Bureau. It's National Beef Month, and we're talking beef in this hour, the Outdoor Living Hour, here at Rosie on the House. If you happen to have a question or curiosity or something piques your interest about beef or Arizona farming, you can join the conversation at 1-888-767-4348. 1-888-ROSIE for you, or you can text questions to 411-923. You can also email it, rosieonthehouse.com.